Hello, this is Tech Weekly and I'm Jemima Kish. I'm normally on the other side of the table facing Alex and Charles, but this week, as half-term duty calls for Charles and Alex pops across the Atlantic to vote, someone has left me in charge. And we haven't even got any biscuits. In this slightly more nano episode, I'll be talking to our very own Jack Schofield about Microsoft's blue sky thinking. As Microsoft opens up the windows in the cloud, what does that mean for the future of computing? And as the Wall Street Journal's All Things Digital poaches a new senior editor, Peter Kafka, from Silicon Alley Insider, we speak to their co-executive editor, Cara Swisher, about the Wall Street Journal's tech blog and what Yahoo needs to do next. Plus, I'll round up this week's news too. It's all a compact package of tech loveliness. Microsoft has announced a new platform which is set to take the data from our drives and store it on their big servers. At their professional developers conference in LA this week, Ray Ozzie launched Microsoft's version of cloud computing, which will work with the next version of Windows, Windows 7. As we become more mobile with our technology, cloud computing will gain in importance because we'll want to back up our information anywhere. Plus, there's also the added benefit of having all our data backed up too. Guardian tech guru Jack Schofield is here with me to discuss the development. So perhaps you could start by giving a simple explanation of cloud computing and exactly what Microsoft has announced this week.
Cloud computing means basically putting all your stuff on servers where you don't care where it is. In the old days, people used to draw networks as clouds, so you could see signals going into the cloud and coming out, but you basically didn't care what happened in the middle. And so cloud computing takes that same view of computing where you don't have to say, oh, it's on such and such a drive, on such and such a machine, running such and such an operating system. All of that technical stuff is taken away and you're left just to deal with the application and the data.
So Google and Amazon are already in this space. They've got their clouds. Why are they also getting into this game? And how are they going to respond to Microsoft's new service?
Well, Amazon has done a wonderful job of pioneering this area with what it calls EC2, its Elastic Compute Cloud. Google's kind of responded a bit to that with an application engine. Both of those are companies with enormous computing infrastructures. They've got zillions of servers spread all around the place. Now, if you have those, you're already paying to run them, then it's a relatively small step to say, hey, somebody else could use them as well, on a pay-as-you-go basis. And so that's a bit what they've done. Microsoft, of course, is doing the same thing, which is that it's setting up huge data centers to which it can move all its existing online applications, such as Hotmail and Windows Messenger and SkyDrive and Spaces, and run all those on its own cloud, as well as running stuff for other people.
So why are they doing it now, though?
Well, they're doing it now because they want to move to a new infrastructure, because cloud computing is fashionable, because ultimately, in the long run, there's probably money in it. If you're a small startup and you want to get into a web business, then traditionally you would have said, oh, you've got to go out and buy, X hundred servers and install them in these racks and worry about the networking. And a lot of money, a lot of capital investment up front. Whereas now you can say, oh, well, we would just use, a little bit of Amazon's cloud and we can just load our software up there and Amazon will run it. And if you are a startup, then it's, it's relatively simple to do that. And it saves you the capital cost. You just have to then pay, like paying your rent, you just pay your rent on what you use. So there is a lot of appeal to cloud computing, although, obviously there are downsides. But if you're running applications on the web, which a lot of us are now, then, it clearly makes sense.
And so for companies then, are there any particularly well-known companies that at any scale are using cloud computing to operate?
Probably not at any scale, but there are quite a few startup websites. And you can easily spot them because they all fall down when there's an outage on EC2.
Yes, at least everyone's all down together.
Yeah.
Solidarity. So,
Microsoft is hoping that it's got an infrastructure that will avoid that problem. Microsoft is actually a rather sophisticated way of having failovers and, lots of different servers in different places. Now, of course, the key thing is that you don't have to know or care about that. You should just be able to shove your stuff at Microsoft. Now, one of the reasons Microsoft has got into it is that both Amazon and Google run on Linux, Microsoft is running a Windows Server 2008 cloud. Clearly, there is a vast amount of Windows applications in the world, and therefore, you know, there's probably a fairly good business in running them.
Yes, of course. You wonder why they didn't do it earlier, really, but maybe that's another discussion. I just wanted to go back to the problems that you briefly mentioned. I mean, surely if everyone is keeping their data in the same place, that makes it a big juicy target for hackers. Isn't it a bit dangerous having all of our data in one place?
Well, it's actually probably not necessary to hack, really. I mean, you can find an awful lot out just by searching Google. You don't need to hack Google. You just need to be very skillful at searching it. The amount of money you might save by hacking a cloud is relatively small. I mean, what are you going to do with it?
Well, just to be mischievous. You know, they could just, you know.
If you want to make a lot of money, you can invade Fort Knox. And that's really the same thing. You know, do you want to take on a really big company with billions of dollars invested in data centres and a lot of very expert people keeping you out? Well, the answer is no. You just knock over a couple of gas stations because that's easy. You know, if you want to deface somebody, pick some small site that basically doesn't know what it's doing, right?
OK, so you don't have any concerns about the security side of this?
No, not really. I mean, there may be deliberate leaks, as there were when, you know, people give away data that's for research purposes that's not correctly anonymised. I mean, you know, we know from watching the British government that your data is far more dangerous on a floppy disk or a CD than it is in the cloud. Well,
that's
right?
A very good point. And actually, my next question was, does this all just mean the long, slow death of the hard drive and perhaps of the CD and the floppy disk as well?
No, not at all. You always need to have data in two places at once. You always need to be responsible for your own data. So if you put the data in the cloud and you're not responsible for it and you don't look after it and you don't own a copy, then you're going to lose it. You know, people get locked out of Google all the time. They get, you know, locked out of all online services. Online services go bust. They take your data with them. Large proportion, large sections of California slide into the sea, you know, with taking their data centers with them. Okay, so, you know, you have to rely on yourself. So that means if you're going to put data in the cloud, you have to have a backup on your own desktop.
Okay, just lastly, how does this all lead into this new version of Windows we've been hearing about for so long?
Well, it doesn't, actually. Not really.
They've just tacked two announcements together because of the developers' conference.
Yes, essentially. But they are quite related. Microsoft isn't new to cloud computing. It's been doing Hotmail online. It's got customer relationship management online and a lot of other services. But what it's now doing is moving them all to a platform that's programmable. And therefore, you've got an SDK for it. So people can develop applications to run in the cloud. Now, that's one leg of a three-leg tripod that will be the cloud service, Windows, Windows 7, and Windows Mobile 7. And you can connect them all together in a ring and the cloud will synchronize them for you. And that's the kind of thing that it makes relatively simple to do and therefore is why it's, you know, why it's interesting that Microsoft is tying them together.
Well, there's plenty more to come in this space, I'm sure. Thank you very much, Jack. You can read more about Microsoft getting into cloud computing at guardian.co.uk/technology. And you can also leave a comment on Jack's blog post too. Now though, time for this week's news. Google has reached a landmark agreement with publishers to make millions of books available online in a deal that includes a $125 million legal payout. Ending two lawsuits from major publishers, Google will establish a new registry to compensate authors and distribute revenue from Google's book search service. Lawyers for the British hacker Gary McKinnon have claimed his recent diagnosis with Asperger's syndrome means extradition to the US would breach his human rights. Home Secretary Jack Straw is still backing the extradition to the US over charges of hacking into the Pentagon's systems. Former Undertones singer Fergal Sharkey was appointed head of UK Music this week, the trade body coordinating industry strategy on digital rights and illegal file sharing. UK Music is preparing to release a manifesto on the future of the industry next year. And there's more tech news, as always, on the site all week. guardian.co.uk/technology. Kara Swisher has a formidable reputation in Silicon Valley as one of the industry's most tenacious tech journalists and authors, and has been a staple among the Wall Street Journal's tech columnists since 1997. Now heading its spin-off tech conference and blog network All Things Digital alongside gadget guru Walt Mossberg, Swisher regularly dissects much of the ego and hysteria in the Valley. We caught up with her while she scours Europe for conference venues, and I started by asking how All Things Digital works with its more old-school colleagues at the Wall Street Journal. You're essentially a kind of startup.
Yes.
That was funded by Dow Jones to start with?
Funded, yes. I mean, we were already making, the conference was already profitable, so it wasn't the most difficult jump to do this. But we're run separately. I work out of the back of my house. Everyone works for our little division, works at home. And we don't, you know, we don't have to go into a central office to discuss things, and we make decisions really quickly. We test out all sorts of new stuff. One of the reasons a lot of companies like working with us is because they want to work with Dow Jones, but it takes a while for decisions to be made. But we'll try something out on our site, like we're doing something interesting with Dig soon, and then maybe it'll work in the big journal. But what's nice is you can be really flexible and change your change a lot of things rather quickly.
So that's exciting. What are you doing with Dig?
We're using different ways of how to get people to dig our stories, and we're trying different things out. And they obviously wanted to try it with all the Dow Jones properties, but it's easier to experiment with us. When Walt had their iPhone review, we got it on the front page of Yahoo. And, you know, there's all sorts of big media agreements that go on between Dow Jones and Yahoo, but we just got in touch with the front page people. Walt's review is great. You know, there was only three in the country. It gives Yahoo quality material, but then it linked back to our site. And I mean, we were just inundated with traffic. So we can do things like that very quickly and also give these organizations like Yahoo or whoever really high-quality stuff.
So Yahoo is an organization that you've been covering intimately.
Yes, intimately,
for some time
and somewhat, and very negatively, which is interesting that we were...
Well, it's not necessarily that negative. I think you were more analytical than a lot of other people in the space.
Yes.
But it seemed like, you know, there was intense speculation over the acquisition by Microsoft,
right,
and then it just evaporated.
Well, it's just Yahoo said no. You know, I mean,
and ICANN wheedled his way onto the board.
Yeah, he wheedled his way, and now he's
What's
on the board.
What's going to happen there?
Interestingly, this meltdown on Wall Street is positive for Yahoo because nobody's paying attention to them.
Yeah.
Everybody was sort of focused on them, and everybody's now focused elsewhere. They have some time to recover, but they really do need to make some serious changes in that company, which is something I've been advocating for a long time, and really start to define themselves and really, you know, just start to, you know, stop sort of slowly trying to figure things out. I mean, one of the problems of Yahoo is that kind of management structure, which they really, really can't make decisions.
Well, it looked like Jerry Yang, his time was really up.
He was. He's got the cat with nine lives, but he's only got one more left, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's really got to make some serious changes now. The last shareholder meeting was really bad for them. You know, they may feel relieved, but having 40% of the people not approve you is not as shareholders. You know, usually these companies get 90% approval. Mm. It's really bad. It's just a bad thing. So, you know, he's thinking about buying AOL. He's trying to bring in new executives. I think they'll be making some layoffs, I'm guessing. They may go back to Microsoft. That's still not off the table. And then lastly, you know, they're in this discussion. I mean, they're about to implement this Google advertising deal, this outsourcing deal that's very controversial in Europe and in the United States about Google selling ads for Yahoo, which I have been very vehemently against. Because
well, everyone in the industry has really spoken out against
right.
this. Are they going to get away with it, do you think?
Yes, I think they are indeed. I think the Justice Department hasn't really hired... They've hired a litigator, but the litigator they hired is not someone... I think they're just trying to scare the pair into doing something, giving in some tweaks and stuff like that. But I don't think they might push Google. Google's been very arrogant about the whole thing, and they keep having press conferences saying they're going ahead with or without government approval, which it's, at some point Google has got to stop this pompous, we're here to save the world, you little brains, leave us alone kind of thing. And so they're going to see what happens. And I think what's going to probably, if there are some abuses, the government will come in after they start the thing and start to tweak at it. But you never know. The government might step in before.
Plenty to chew on there. There's another half to this interview, which is much more about the media industry and how the print industry needs to think more like the internet. That will be on Friday's Media Talk. In the meantime, you can read more from Kara Swisher at allthingsd.com. Well, that's it for this week's Tech Weekly. Thanks to Jack Schofield for coming in and keeping me company in this big old empty studio. Next week, we'll be back to a more normal service and hopefully some biscuits. And it's also the week when America will decide, so we'll have a bit of an election flavour. See you next Tuesday.